Hi, this is Marian Samuel from the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse in Antigua. Every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m., we interview a guest about real-life issues from the Caribbean. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversations, a time to explore the issues surrounding your everyday existence. Your family, your community, your environment, your health and safety habits, your lifestyle, both physically and spiritually, will all be discussed here on Lighthouse Conversations. Let's get started and see just what we can learn to better your life. Welcome to another episode of Lighthouse Conversation. I am Marian Samuel, your host for the program. With me on the telephone line is Daniel Shem Henry III, July's Ambassador for the Medical Benefits Scheme calendar, Staying Alive. July brings awareness to asthma, and Mr. Henry is here to share his life experience living with this medical condition and what he is doing to stay alive. Thanks for joining and sharing a part of your life story with us, Mr. Henry.
Yes, please. It is an honor, truly an honor.
Okay. For the listener who only hears the term asthma but does not know what it entails, could you explain and define what is asthma?
So, from my end, as an asthmatic, my opinion on asthma basically is asthma is a chronic respiratory disease, respiratory or lung disease. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that individuals living with asthma are usually threatened by the tightness of the chest, the muscles around the chest cavity, tightening of that. Also, it's a situation where you'd find yourself having shortness of breath, not being able to breathe, for lack of a better word, on a normal basis. Also, what also happens is there's wheezing, there's a lot of chest pain that is associated with asthma. So, in like a nutshell, yes, it's a respiratory disease, but it also hinders the individual from, or not allows the individual to breathe the normal, expected normal way.
Now, how did you or your parents discover your condition?
Well, I found it at a tender age. Mm-hmm. My parents, it was a situation where I opted for, you know, school sports there at a young primary school. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, participating in the school sports there. And after my race, after I'd run my race, I think I was about 6 or 7. I had like this heavy panting. I couldn't breathe. And most likely you just think, okay, I've been doing the most. I was running here, I was doing that. And before running, literally running the race, I was actually playing with friends and stuff before actually running the race. So I think that my teachers, along with my parents, just thought that it was more of, you know, just overworking and overdoing doing it.
Uh-huh.
Now, there is a family trait. There is a history of asthma in my family. And one of the things that we never really did was to take it for granted. We never took as we never cast it to the side. We never overlooked it. But because of how I found out about my diagnosis, it was very strange at 7 or probably 6 to be diagnosed and to hear that you're asthmatic. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I did not, you know, that I didn't understand what asthma was because I had an aunt who lived with us who had asthma. Mm-hmm. However, now when I started to live with the knowledge that I was an asthmatic also, I felt as if it just came upon me, so I was overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And it became so surreal. And I started to now look into, at 7 and 8 years old, I started to look into what caused it, how to live with it. And so it's a situation that I've been living with for a while, but I knew from my parents' end and my end, there was always that opportunity for me to research, and I was an opportunity to educate my parents and show that I understood what was happening or what I was going through.
That's good. What triggers your asthma attacks?
Well, I am a little special. I'm going to say it just like that. So my asthma is a very ticklish and a very sensitive one. There's a lot, if not everything, can trigger my asthma. So the change of season, the change of weather, the change of an environment, the change of climate, the coming out of a cold situation or going into a hot situation, or just being in a hot situation, a hot space, can trigger my asthma. Allergies, certain things that I would eat, certain exercises or everyday chores would also, you know, cause me to go into that state of almost like asthma attack. However, I think what is the beauty behind all of that is that it allows me to live my life in a sense of like moderation. I know how to balance the way I do things and how I do things, and it's not a situation where I jump into a space or I jump out of a space and not taking into consideration what's happening in that space or what's happening around me. So it's a two-headed sword, but at the same time, I think my triggers are everywhere. It's everything. I don't have one particular set trigger. However, as I mentioned, it has allowed me to grow with an understanding of the spaces, the people, the time, the environment that's around me.
Because almost everything triggers your asthma attacks. How often would you get them?
Ooh, that's a very... I would, if I'm being honest, I would say very, very often. I even waking up in the morning and getting my body, conditioned for that day is also a trigger. So most times I wake up in the morning with chest pains, or I would wake up with just wheezing, tightness of my chest and shortness of breath. And these are just symptoms of having an asthma, that's the full-blown asthma attack. Now, I've had full-blown asthma attacks, and I'm thankful that I'm still standing to say that I've had full-blown asthma attacks. However, my asthma attacks are very often, well, I get symptoms of an asthma attack very often. So, for instance, if I'm going up a flight of stairs, it may cause a little tightness, a little pulling in my chest, or if I am picking fruits, you know, just outside picking fruits, I may come across maybe a particular smell or a particular pollen or something, and that would, you know, trigger a flare-up.
And what preventative measures you would take to limit your attacks on your asthma?
Okay, so I'm a stifler. I'm a very, very strict person when it comes to that particular aspect of my life, and so I pay very keen attention to how I eat, how I exercise, the medications that I'm on, and also researching. I find that a lot of asthmatics, they get the diagnosis and then that's where it ends, you know. Medicine is an ongoing practice, and just like medicine is an ongoing practice, every day we find new strains and new traits in, you know, whatever chronic diseases that we are suffering with. And so what I try to do, I do a lot of research too. It was just a couple of days ago, I was reading an article and I realized that asthma is not just the asthma alone, because I am epileptic also. And both asthma and epilepsy, they've married themselves so well, where to the point where right after an asthma attack, there's an epileptic attack, or there's a tentative epileptic movement happening. Now, what I've also kind of did while researching was that I tried to not just look at the strain or my condition, Mm-hmm. But I've also looked at other persons who are living with other types of asthma, other levels and strains of asthma, and see how they would have combat theirs. There was one particular gentleman that I've met on Instagram who is an asthmatic, and one of the things that he says he does a lot is that he trains himself to breathe, not underwater, but he would hold his breath underwater. And what it does, well, from his end, I'm not sure if this is medically proven, mm-hmm. what he is doing is that he is working his lungs muscle by holding his breath, and he comes up for air, intake of air, and then he goes back on. And so I've tried that, you know, a few times in the tub. I've tried it a few times, mm-hmm. and I've tried it at the beach. But mm-hmm. what I've realized, what it does to you, that's the fact of knowing that you're doing something to assist with or to help improve, you know, mm-hmm. your livelihood, especially living with the chronic disease. I feel like that mentally it works. It does a lot for you. So I think researching and pooling together with persons who are known asthmatics and even persons who are just starting out, and you guys can research together, you guys can find the things out together. I feel like that is a very important factor, especially living with the chronic disease.
Mm-hmm. What is your daily routine like in light of your asthmatic condition?
Okay, so if I'm being honest, I'm just like the regular and individual. There is no, you're not going to look at me and see, oh, he's an asthmatic. I don't walk around with a pump advertising a pump. I don't wear it on my chest. I am an asthmatic. I am the most outgoing, vibrant, and motivated individual. I do not allow my condition to tie me down, limit me, restrain, you know. No, I do not allow my condition to do that. And what I've done is, again, it goes back to research, because I know what I know. Mm-hmm. I know how to better deal with it. So my day is just like anybody else's. I get up, I have my cup of either tea, coffee, whatever it is that I'm having on that particular day. And then I go straight into creating. I'm a fashion designer. I go straight into creating. I go into my world of fashion. And I have done everything just like the regular teen. Coming up, I ran for Antigua. I was an athlete. Hmm. I was very high-spirited in school. So I was everything in school. I was the prefect, the head boy, the you know, I was everything, mm-hmm. environmental cadet. So my days are not tied and bounded, and I am in this state of like a limitation. I'm limited to doing. Hmm. I just understand now how to better do it and how to make it work for me. Hmm. I am on medication. I do take my medication. However, at the same time, it's not a death sentence. It's not I'm not a shut-in. Yeah. So I still get up, dance up and down, in and out. I'm outside singing my heart away. And that's just who I am.
Okay.
Very easy going and down to earth and high-spirited, you know. Nothing.
Okay. Are there do's and don'ts you avoid in case of an asthma attack?
Okay. So there's a lot of do's and there's just a few don'ts, because as I mentioned, I try not to restrain myself. I try not to limit myself. Mm-hmm. However, as I grow, it becomes a little clearer. I become a bit more understanding as to how to allow myself to marry with my condition, as opposed to making that condition be my, you know, my gospel. Mm-hmm. Now, a few of the do's that I would say is to ensure that you're eating healthy. And eating healthy is not just what is preached, eating your greens and eating. It's what works for you and your body, because I find that a lot of the times, even from a nutritional end, I would have sought assistance from nutritionists, I would have sought assistance from individuals within that healthy eating lifestyle. And what I realized is that most of these diets and nutritional makeups, they don't really work for me. They don't work with me and with my body. And so what I did was I found my rhythm, my nutritional rhythm. I found ways of including even the things that I'm allergic to I've found ways to include them. For instance, banana. I am allergic. I cannot eat a banana by in its raw state. I cannot drink it as a shake. Mm-hmm. But I can eat it as pancakes.
Oh.
It's strange. Mm-hmm. It's strange, but I can eat it as fritters and pancakes. And so I have found ways to include even the things that I am asked to stay away from in my diet. Also, I would also, in terms of exercising, now I'm not asking you to go to the gym. I'm not asking you to have a dedicated time period during your day to do rhythmic exercises. However, one of the things that I have made very important is to be mobile in terms of movement. So I'm always moving. I'm up and down. I'm over here, over there. And that is a form of exercise for me, something that I do without even having to, you know, elapse time to exercise. Before I go to bed, I would try to ensure that everything is the way it's supposed to be in terms of, like, I'm taking my medication. I drink a glass of water before bed, and I try to get myself in that state of almost like well-being. So I think these three little factors, these three little things, like preparation in terms of how do you take your medication and when do you take your medication, not only when you're feeling like an asthma attack, or you're feeling, you know, you're wheezing or you have a tightness of chest, that's when you're taking your medication. You have to stay on point with that, and also eating healthy, and as I said, eating a diet that works for your body, and also exercising. And exercising can be walking from your home to the village shop, or, you know, or going outside and watering plants, or doing something that gets you active. But do not wait until you feel an attack coming on to then run and try to find, you know, because we usually get triggers before a serious attack comes on. And what I try to do in my case is I do not wait until I'm feeling bad, or I'm feeling pain, or I'm feeling like there's something happening to then seek medical attention. I know my body. I know at a certain time, this is what is going to happen. This is what is going to take place. This should not be taking place. And so I would then seek medical attention then and there. Also, this is another do. Most persons are confidential, especially with chronic diseases and so forth. However, I think what should happen is not embracing. I'm not telling you to go and embrace it and be proud and wave it as a flag. But at least let the people around you know, people that it could be close to, or people that just needs to know, your neighbor that just needs to know, just in the event of, or in any case of, that this is what you are dealing with. And, you know, so they have an idea of what's going on, so that at least you are protected and you can be helped when, you know, and if you can educate the persons around you as to your condition, then that would also be very, very, very good on your end. So, you know, I've had cases where I was having an attack at work, or even at home, and my brothers or my co-workers were able to assist with what was happening with me.
Okay. As you were talking about your treatments and so forth, how has the medical benefit scheme assisted you?
So medical benefit scheme has been a pillar in my journey. I'm being honest. If I must be really, really honest, the medical benefit scheme has allowed, not just for the medical aspect of it, but mentally, they have allowed me to grow, to accept, and to not live in this bubble of, I'm an asthmatic, I can't do this, I can't do that. I like the fact that there's an awareness, there is that informative aspect to the organization. And also, I like the fact that even from the medicinal end, it helps, because If I'm supposed to purchase my asthma pump on a regular, a monthly basis, personally, it can be an expensive venture. It can be an expensive venture, especially for my condition, you know. But I feel like the medical benefit has allowed to, it takes that added stress or that added strain from, you know, me. Also, it goes back to the practices, the different programs that they have in place. It might not be geared towards asthma, but at the same time, the exercise, the walk, whatever you want to call them now, the nutritional, food-based exercises and stuff, I feel like those also too kind of, it makes it easier for myself and other asthmatics that I've known. It makes it easier for us to not just say, hi, we're asthmatics, but to live with the condition knowing that there is an organization that is behind and supports our condition.
Wow, that's good. How do you bring awareness to your condition?
Well, I'm a very vocal person, so I'm a very, very vocal person. As I mentioned, I'm a very outgoing person. However, I don't go waving it as a flag.
Right.
However, if I'm placed in a situation where I need to speak on it, I will speak out on it. Mm-hmm. I've also participated in a lot of youth empowerment programs, especially in Artist Comprehensive. I have been training the cheerleading group for over 18 years. I piloted and trained that group for over 18 years. And I'm asked that question, how are you an asthmatic and you can do all these stunts and flips? And I think it came from the fact that, yes, I'm an asthmatic, but I'm not a handicapped. I'm not, shut in that kind of situation. And so I don't allow myself mentally to think of myself less than, And so I've advocated, I've walked with the asthma movement. I have communicated with other asthmatics as to how, what has worked for me and what they can do on their end to assist them. And also with the medical benefits, I am also able to now reach a broader population with my condition and speaking out on and, just sharing my experiences and my knowledge about about asthma.
That's good. What advice do you have for persons living with asthma?
Live, and continue to live. Mm-hmm. I think life has allowed us, or given us a gift, and I see it as a gift because it allows you, as I mentioned, to take things in moderation, to respect spaces, to respect people, to respect climate changes, to respect a lot of the things that triggers or a lot of the things that add to your asthma. However, I feel like living, understanding what you're living with, research what you're living with, and not just turn a blind eye to the fact that there is a condition is important. It is very important for you to live. It is very important for you to mentally put yourself in that space where it's not just understanding, acknowledging, but accepting and trying to make best of, try to do better with. I've known of cases where persons would have grown out of asthma. I've known of cases where persons would have grown into asthma. And one of the things that I advocate for is life, and life that is well lived, not life in a bubble or life in a square. Life that is well lived. Everything takes moderation, and I feel like with asthma, it's the same approach. The same approach you would take with any other chronic disease or any other thing that you're dealing with life, you can do that. You can take that same approach with asthma. So it is not a death sentence. It is not a limitation of a closed door. You just need to understand the room. And once you understand the room, it can become a beautiful path to your life.
That's wonderful. And that's a great note to end on, Mr. Henry, and thank you very much for sharing, thank you for sharing a bit of your life experience living with asthma and the great advice that you just gave to those who are, faced with this condition. I wish you a healthy life as you live with this condition, and God bless you, Mr. Henry.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, indeed a pleasure.
Thanks for listening in on our conversation. We trust that it was beneficial to you as you continue to develop a more meaningful life. Do you have a topic or a guest you would like us to have a conversation with for a future episode on Lighthouse Conversations? We would love to hear your suggestions. Send us a mail at Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1057, St. John's, Antigua, or Lighthouse, BIMI, @gmail.com. or give us a call at area code 268-462-1454 or send us a message via WhatsApp or text at area code 268-782-1454. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can hear Lighthouse Conversations Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. If you're in Antigua, you can listen at 92.3 MHz FM. If you're in the Caribbean, you can listen at 1160 kHz AM or listen online at www.radiolighthouse.org from anywhere in the world. Or you can subscribe to this podcast. Looking forward to having you join us next time. Bye-bye.